to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast that tackles modern-day issues with a focus on spirituality, with Bishop Greer Godsey, Reverend Mark Trim, Father Matt Schnabel, and Bishop Ben Williams. Thanks for listening. Take a breath, open your heart, and let's expand your faith together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
And the rabbit Penelope in the background, who's decided to start making noise.
And as one does.
Tonight, we're going to kind of do a light topic, just talk about things that are on our minds and hearts, and take some questions from our studio audience. So we've already got a couple that are coming in. So that's going to be our episode today. Hopefully to kind of be a little more lighthearted than our previous topics. So that's my goal, at least. And so Reverend Mark is sitting out on his patio tonight in the beautiful weather with his stogie. I'm sitting in a rather warm living room with a stogie, and Bishop Ben is
sitting in my living room. Same thing.
Yeah, we're all just kind of relaxed tonight and enjoying the beautiful weather. So,
right.
Bernice starts us off with a question. Bishop, how do y'all separate clergy duties from your personal lives?
Right out of the gate.
Wow. Talk about light subject.
Reverend Mark, you want to start that one off?
Oh, my. It's a great question. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's quite difficult, because I'm bivocational. I have both pastoral duties and a 9-to-5 job, if you will. And so sometimes it can be very tricky. Boundaries are important. Establishing what is necessary versus what is something that can be delegated, something that can be handled at another point in time. And you have to hold those boundaries fast and hard, setting up some type of schedule for your life. Because church people and church ministry is always needy. You know, Jesus told us that the needy will always be there. There'll all be something in need. And we have to learn, you know, what is it we can solve today? What is it that we need to put off till tomorrow? What is it that maybe, you know, one of your own leaders can handle within the church? And separating those duties out. And then when you are quote unquote handling personal business, you have to be very self-disciplined to not pick up pastoral responsibilities in those moments. When I go on vacation, I leave my vice moderator in charge and leave strict instructions for everyone to contact either the administrator or that person. I don't check social medias. I don't check my emails. I oftentimes leave my phone to where I can't get to it physically. So a lot of boundaries, and you have to respect yourself enough to keep those boundaries. And if you do, you can really separate it. It's hard for church pastors to become close friends with people that they're pastoring. but you have to keep a little bit of a distance there sometimes. So those are some of the things that I do in a nutshell.
You have anything to add, Bishop Ben?
Well, no, it's about the same, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, keep the healthy boundaries, which we had talked about before on the show. We had discussed boundaries for clergy and congregation and setting those healthy boundaries. So, you know, just keep being mindful about that.
Well, and another thing, especially for those of us in the liturgical churches, because so many liturgical churches have what are called rectories.
Right.
And those are usually right next door to the church. And so one of the things that we have had to do within old Catholicism is make sure that we do not have our houses next to the church.
Right.
Because that invites breaches of boundaries. You know,
all day.
Yeah. When you live next door to the church, and especially if the building, the house is owned by the church, parishioners think that it's their house too.
Right. And it's their prerogative to come and visit.
Right. Just stop in whenever they want. Just walk right in the door, not even knock. Just walk in the door.
Right. I've had that happen to me when I was in the Roman church when I first got ordained as a priest. They assigned me to the main cathedral, and we were stuck in the rectory together. We had the old priest and me. And people would just walk in. I'm like thinking, is this Grand Central Station or is this a rectory?
Right. You know?
And I've had to tell people when I first started, you can't be doing that. You just can't walk in on us.
Yeah.
It's not your house. It's our house. It's our sanctuary away from you all. Basically.
A nice way of saying that, yes.
Well, I had to figure out how to get forceful without being mean like I usually am here on TikTok.
Right.
Because it was different in the Roman church than now it is with, you know, with the old Catholicism. We have a little bit more leeway on how to handle things.
Right. Right. That's a good question, Bernice. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I've worked so many times as an administrator when I was younger and the Roman church before I left it, and watching people just walk into the rectory all hours of the day and night was just weird.
And not only did it happen in the rectory, it happened in the office, even though we had office hours.
Right.
They would lean on the doorbell and ring on the doorbell, and the ones that had the keys just walked right in. It's like, right. Oh, man.
And that's why you also limit who all has keys to the church.
Right. When I got ordained and I got assigned to the cathedral, I fixed that. We took away a lot of keys, and we changed from keys to card control access.
And that's smart. It's very smart. It's harder when you're bivocational like Reverend Mark.
Right.
Because you have so little time to yourself between church and work.
Right. It's the same way as being chaplaincy too for the hospital. You know, you had to make sure you have boundaries in the chaplaincy department too, because if not, your residents and your attendings, as far as the medical staff, will over abuse it. Sometimes even your residency chaplains will abuse you.
Right. Oh, yes, I remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
Phone calls all hours of the day and night.
Right.
So. Yeah, I have to sleep with my phone on because if the alarm system goes off at the church, I'm the first in line.
Right.
I had that happen the other night, midnight. Come out of a dead sleep, phone's ringing. I have to quickly bring up the surveillance of the church. Thankfully, it was just a false alarm. But, you know,
but you never know.
Can't sleep through that because then it rings to other people that are after me in the call logs. So, super fun.
Turn those bugs and motion sensors.
That's the size of it.
But the bad thing about it is nowadays, unfortunately, churches like yours and parishes that have tabernacles and stuff, we have to have security, unfortunately, because of what happens nowadays.
Well, and there's always somebody looking for to score a quick payday.
Right, right.
And so they know that churches tend to have
large amount of cash on hand.
Well, not just cash, but
gold.
You know, gold and silver, yep. And you know,
so they can hawk pretty quick.
Right.
Well, they think that they can hawk it pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, I don't know many pawn shops that go, oh, look at this chalice. Right. I'm sure this is not stolen.
Right. Now, I've had a few. I've had that happen to me here in Houston. I had people break in when I had my Suburban break in and steal my mask set, my troubling mask set, and then end up in the pawn shop, and then the pawn shop ends up calling me or the police and, hey, are you all missing this?
Right.
Sure, we are. Can you hold it for us?
That's right. So tonight we're taking questions and comments from our studio audience and just various discussions that are on our minds. Navi's got a good question. Navi says, would you rather go to space or explore the deepest parts of the ocean?
Space. Oh, wow.
I would like to go to space.
Space.
Yeah, space. Star Trek fan, so.
Right.
Big space for me.
Yeah. I want to find the green aliens that Captain Kirk met with.
Oh, my.
Forget that. I want to meet Quark. I want to go to Quark.
Oh, Quark. Yeah.
Deep Space Nine.
Good old DS9.
Yeah. go meet Quark and find out what happened to Cisco.
I was so enthralled with Artemis 2.
I had a good round.
We sat and watched them splash down last night at his house. And so, because I was very concerned about their reentry.
Yeah, the heat shield.
And the heat shield concerned me. And so I was so ecstatic when they arrived safely. So space has always been fascinating to me. And, you know, someday I think that we'll eventually find alien life, or they'll find us more likely.
Right.
They're probably living on Saturn. We were talking about this last night. The RF signal that Saturn creates, it's probably their homing beacon for their base.
That would be something that would be cool.
Bunny wants to know, how do you deal with, like, doubts?
That's another good question.
What are doubts? None of us have doubts. I mean, come on. We're ministers. Hmm.
Well, I mean, we're God's people of faith and power, so yeah.
Right. Very carefully. Doubt is normal. You know, this is one of the things that I think that we as clergy have to normalize. It is okay to doubt. It's a part of the normal human process to doubt, especially things we cannot see. And so doubt in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I also like to point out to people that without doubt, it would be impossible to know what faith is.
Right.
Everything has to have a balance. You know, without light, you wouldn't know darkness. Without darkness, you wouldn't know light, you know. Same with good and evil, the same, you know, everything has its match, its pair in the world. And the same is true of faith and doubt. You know, without doubt, we would not know what faith is. And so, and if we truly serve an all-powerful God understands that we as human beings are going to have doubt. And he can understand and accept our doubt. Anyone else's thoughts?
I think you pretty much covered it, but, you know, it does make sense to, you know, you can't have faith without the doubt. But also I was going to say, you know, I had an atheist tell me yesterday, or another day before I was at the hospital, well, can't you do the fall test with Jesus and see if he's there? I'm like, it doesn't work that way, dude. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Go ahead, Reverend Mark.
Well, I think doubt invites a moment, an opportunity to explore. I think it opens you, or should open you, to ask some additional questions, to figure out what's causing you to doubt. Is it, you know, is it momentary? Is it a fleeting moment? You know, the difference between being hangry and angry. You know, one is brought on by a lack of food. The other could be something genuine. And so, you know, is it temporary? Is it something that, you know, patience will reveal the answer to? And so I think it for different situations, it opens an opportunity for us definitely to grow. You know, will this happen? Will this not happen? I'm not sure. And so it opens us the opportunity to dig deeper. And sometimes, you know, scriptures, if you're reading scriptures with an open heart, they are constantly teaching us to reach deeper into the soil of the spirit realm and to grow deeper and to root deeper. That is, it's just like trees and plants. You know, trees don't stop going deeper until they die, and so we should be reaching for something deeper and higher. And doubt definitely opens up the opportunity for great things to be revealed if we'll pause long enough to look, say, you know, I don't know this, but maybe I'm willing to be taught. Maybe I'm willing to learn. Maybe I'm willing to sit back and trust that something good will happen. I don't know what it is. And that's okay to say that too.
That's very true. Absolutely. Thank you. Geomet has another good question. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received? Don't eat yellow snow.
How did I know you were going to go there with that?
Well, that and don't take any wooden nickels. But I would say that the best advice anyone ever told me was you can't please everybody. You know, and that is so very true. Because you're always going to have your detractors. You're always going to have somebody that's not happy with you. It's just the way life works. What about you, Reverend Mark?
I would have to do a twofer for this one, because one dealing with spiritual, one dealing with just life in general. One of the best things that my dad taught me is sometimes you may not learn what to do, but you can learn what not to do. So life can always be a moment of growth and of change. And spiritually, the best advice is an instruction from Scripture: "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In other words, give God a chance to open your eyes, give God the opportunity to show goodness, and those are my two pieces of advice.
Excellent, Bishop Ben. What's your best advice somebody's ever given you?
Well, to be honest, you know, I know I've said this on the podcast and in regular lives. You know, when I was in seminary school, the abbot used to tell me, don't let people in your life, either being personal life or your congregation, put you on a pedestal. And I asked them why. He said, because the minute they put you up there in a high place or in the spotlight, you're going to make yourself fall off, or you're going to look like a fool. He said, because it's very hard to be put on a pedestal. Because then they demand more of you, and they demand you to be excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Very much.
And we are definitely not perfect.
Right.
No.
I know I'm not.
No. I was trying to explain that to a person the other day. I said, you have to understand that when we come together as community, we come together as broken pieces often. Mm-hmm. We come together as, you know, freshly sewn back together pieces or scarred, you know, and that's okay. Because if we're scarred, it means that we've healed. Yes, if we've been through moments of difficulty, but we've healed. If we're, you know, broken, and we're in the presence of community and the divine, it means we're asking to be put back together, to be restored. So, and we're all broken differently. You know, right. different things break. You know, some things break in two, some things break in 200 pieces.
Right.
And so we're all broken differently. That's okay.
No such thing as a silly or dumb question, Navi. Go ahead. There's no silly or dumb questions on here. Just questions to be answered.
You know, what comes to mind, too, is sometimes people don't realize that their pastor or their priest are broken, too. We're only human. Sometimes we have emotional scars and trauma that we're trying to heal from.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think with that, Bishop Ben, we have to... There has to be some level of showing people how we've grown.
Right.
And we do have to guard sometimes because we, after all, have to lead.
Correct.
That is a hard road to know. There's times that I'll reveal things about myself. Some people, you know, are a little bit of aghast. Oh, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, they need to know that I'm human and that I struggle too.
Right.
I may not reveal everything that I'm going through, nor will I.
Correct.
But I think people need to know that, like Jesus, because we were given scriptures where shown that, you know, Jesus struggled at the very end with his assignment
right
here in the earth.
Correct. He sure did.
And even when Lazarus died, he wept.
That's right.
Amen.
And so... you know, him flipping tables, he was struggling with the stupidity and the arrogance of the priests. And so, you know, there's a lot there, but it's okay for us to show that we are human.
That is so very true. Navi asked the question, is water wet?
Yeah.
Except if it's dehydrated and then it's dry.
Yeah. So, a bit of a slippery slope to be on with that.
Right. There's actually a company that makes dehydrated water. It's basically an empty can. But you know. Go look it up on Amazon. I'm serious.
You know, one thing comes to mind is people tell me, especially in the middle of a trauma or in the end of a trauma where we lose the patient, even the nurses and staff ask me, well, chaplain, how come you never show any emotion or you don't cry after certain things happen? I said, you know, you all look at me as the rock. And if I'm standing there weeping and wailing with you, how does that, what kind of impression does that put on me as me being the stable rock there for you all? Of course, I'm going to break down, but I'm just not going to do it in front of you all.
Yeah.
There's certain things I can't do. It's a chaplain, it's ready in a trauma.
Right. Yeah. We are called to be leaders for a reason.
Right.
Well, Gio Matt wants to know, if you had to teach a class on one thing at a moment's notice, what would you teach, Reverend Mark?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Something that I know or something that I just wish I could teach about.
Either one.
I love to teach on, and I so rarely get to do it because it's so in depth. I love to teach on the connection between the Jewish tabernacle and Jesus. There's a lot there. Jewish tradition. There's a lot there, and especially as it relates to, you know, crucifixion, resurrection, the suffering of Jesus in that season. If I had something to teach on, or just, I love to teach and preach about the love of God as much as I get a chance to. So if I knew whatever I wanted to know, I'd probably teach about something space related. I don't know. That would be so cool. That's a good question.
It is.
It is.
Bishop Ben, what about you?
Man, it's hard to follow him. Mark said that.
Oh, come on now. You got this.
No, well, you know, to be honest, probably more so what people would call today the woke theology, which is the Beatitudes. I think people need to know more about the Beatitudes and what they really mean and how to implement them in today's life, in today's society. People have always thought about the Beatitudes as woke theology or the woke Jesus and don't really understand what it truly means. But on the other hand, I like to teach that not only us as shepherds, we need to get our hands dirty, but so does the congregation. They need to pitch in and help get their hands dirty if they want the church to run smoothly. Come and do a church cleanup day. Come help us in the library, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Help out in the parish.
Yeah, that's excellent. Right.
Okay, mine is, I'm a nerd. Okay, let's just get that out of the way now.
Never heard that before.
Right. spirituality and quantum physics.
Wow.
That's actually a course that I teach through the seminary.
Right.
Spirituality and quantum physics.
Oh my.
And that's the day I call out sick.
There's a lot of things in quantum physics that can be related back to different theological points.
Right.
And so it's my way of basically teaching that even within natural order, there is a theological, a spiritual, a metaphysical connection within science.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the favorite courses I like to teach is spirituality and quantum physics. My students hate it because it makes them think too much. But I love it. It's an excellent course, in my opinion, but I'm biased, so.
You know, to be honest, this is the first seminary that I've seen in my lifetime teach that.
Right.
We didn't get that in the Roman church.
It's an elective. It's not a required course.
Right.
So it's something they can take if they want to. But it was one of those courses that I just put together because, well, I'm a nerd.
But it works, doesn't it?
It does.
So
helps teach some deep theology in a little different way. So
right,
or it can help insomnia.
It can help right? insomnia very much so.
especially the homework.
Right. Wrinkle wants to know what gives each of you hope in today's difficult world.
Oh, that's a good one.
Whew. I'll start this out. For me, the fact that everything goes in cycles, you know, what we're living through today is not new. We've lived through this before in history several times, possibly hundreds of times throughout history. Things go in cycles. And so it's kind of like we say about the weather here in Georgia. If you don't like the weather here, wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
Yeah.
The same is true of what we're going through in the world. If you don't like what's going on in the world, wait a little bit, it'll change. The pendulum always swings from one end to the other, never ending. And so for me, that's what gives me hope. Reverend Mark?
I think stepping back and all seeking good and looking for the good in all situations. You know, one of the definitions of love in 1 Corinthians is that it hopes, you know, love hopes. And I you can look at the world and see that not everything is broken, not everyone is evil, not every place is covered in shadow, right, spiritually speaking, and also in the natural. You know, the sun rises every morning, we have breath, we have the beauty of, you know, we're in springtime right now, so we have the beauty of life coming back to what is perceived dormant or dead. And so, again, things can come back around to reveal beauty again. People can do the same thing.
Right.
And even seeing people change for the good. I'm of the opinion that if we focus on what's right in our life, the love of God, the fact that God has placed a spark within all of us, the Spirit has placed us here, period. We focus on those things, it can grow within us and it will push out those shadowy places. And so that's what gives me hope, whether it's watching, you know, somebody help an individual at the grocery store, or hearing a story of how, you know, another person put their life on the line just to rescue a stranger, stuff like that. Reminds me that there is grace and good and mercy still within humanity. It may be missing in some, but it's not missing in all.
Right. What about you, Bishop Ben?
That's a good question. I have to tend to agree with both of you all, but also at the same time, what gives me hope is knowing that God is there for us, the Holy Spirit is there for us.
Right.
And if there's any moment of time that you need them, you know, you just reach out and have a conversation. You know, make that prayer like a conversation.
That's right.
Tell them what you're going through. Talk to them, you know. Ask for prayer.
That's right.
That's a good point, yeah.
Very good, yeah.
And I would also follow that up with, we're not alone. Everybody, we're all in this together. All of humanity is going through this process, and so also reach out to friends and family, people you know, right, that support and love you, and during these difficult times. We'll get through this.
That's right.
Geomet asks, if you had a time machine, would you go back in time or to the future? And I would add to that, if you're going back in time or to the future, what time are you going to? Go ahead, Reverend Mark. We'll let you start.
Oh, my goodness. God, that's a tough one.
Yeah, just threw him into the fire.
Right.
I'm such a history buff. I love history. I'm not an expert, but I just love history. Mm-hmm. I hate to be cliche-ish, but, you know, I would just love to. I would just love to see Christ. I mean, and just witness his personality, because I think sometimes he was very, he was funnier than we get portrayed in the scriptures. Fortunately, one day I'll get to see that. If I had another time, without being cliche-ish, I would have to go back to see the Titanic. But not on the Titanic, but before, you know, when it sailed from Southampton, which is, we are in that zone of remembering it over 100 plus years ago. But that would be me. I'd love to jump to the future and see if the Enterprise is out there warping around.
Right. I just knew he was going to say Titanic.
Yeah, I can't mess with the temper. I got to be careful.
Right.
I just knew Reverend Mark was going to say Titanic. I just knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I, you know, I've always been fascinated with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to, and I would have to say that I would want to see it before it sailed.
Right.
Instead of, you know, showing up on the night of.
Right. Right.
What was that bump?
Yeah, the whole idea of cold water and sinking, not a good idea. I would say part of me would like to go back to the past, to a period of, you know, back in 5,000, 6,000 BCE, you know, see how, you know, civilization started, watch them develop and evolve. That's the anthropologist in me, you know. I'd like to see the foundations of things like Zoroastrianism and things of that nature, just because that's who I am. But I'd also kind of like to see the future, although I'm a little scared about the future. You know, you go too far in the future, is humanity still around? I mean, we managed to erase ourselves from the planet, you know. But I would like to see how humanity continues to evolve, what happens to planet Earth sometime before the 500 million years in the future when the sun goes supernova or whatever it is. And, you know, sometime before that. Bishop Ben?
You know, I'd like to do like Reverend Mark. I'd like to go back to see Jesus, but I would like to sit through from the time he was born to the time of his crucifixion. But I would like to walk in and learn with him and learn everything that he has to offer, and also learn from the disciples.
Right.
But then I would go even further back and play around with the dinosaurs. I'd like to go see where they came from, and then maybe even
T-Rexes.
Right, and then maybe even go back even further to see the development of Earth and humanity and the universe. See if that's even possible.
Leave it to Bishop Ben. He wants to be dinosaur kibble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I want to live the Jurassic Park life. Get it?
Yeah.
You know, the thing to see with Christ and, you know, talk to the disciples is just to see how, you know, Jesus chose all these people and
right,
how crazy some of them were. And you're going, wow, you picked them? I guess I'm okay.
Right, right, exactly. That was my idea.
Yeah, see the unvarnished apostles, yes.
And then I would go from that extreme all the way to the mega extreme, to the extreme future, to see what happens maybe 100 million years from now.
Ooh.
See what happens from that.
The doctor did that. That was that doctor who did that. That was that woman.
Right.
Nothing but a piece of flesh stretched across a holder. So I don't know. Wrinkle wants to know, if you could have dinner with any three people in history, who would you choose?
Wow.
I get asked this a lot. J.R. Tolkien is my number one. Number two is Mahatma Gandhi. And number three is Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, those are good.
Reverend Mark?
So I would definitely pick King David. Mm. Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
And President Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, JFK. That's a good one. Right. Excellent.
Wow. Those are good choices.
Yeah.
For me, it would be Martin Luther King. It would be Sigmund Freud. And Pope John Paul II. I know he's not very far in back, but he's one of the recent, the ones the popes I grew up with.
Sigmund Freud. I would have never guessed that one.
I like to pick his brain. I like to pick his brain about things.
That could be dangerous.
Right? It's sure good.
That could be dangerous. Sigmund was a little bit of a weird dude.
Right. But there's a reason why I picked him and I chose him. It's because he's the father of psychiatrists.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he was certainly, he began psychotherapy, the field of psychotherapy. He was a little too attached to his mama.
Right. He had issues. So.
But fortunately, we're all sane here, so we could straighten him out.
Right. I do have to use Freud from time to time with people and tell them, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, you know. Because somebody asked Freud, because, you know, Freud was very much about psychosexual development. And
yeah.
So somebody asked him once, well, you know, if all these things point towards a psychosexual cause, then what does it say that you smoke a cigar? And Sigmund Freud says, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Or how about even Albert Einstein, you know, could be a good pick, too.
Oh, yeah, Albert Einstein. I would want to ask Albert if he ever heard of an invention called a brush or a comb.
Right. Yeah.
What is one thing you think your past self would be proud of? We'll pick on Bishop Ben. Let him start this one.
Wow. Man. Past self. Damn.
What would little young Bishop Ben be proud of you today about?
If we're going to be honest here, and which we should be, because, you know, these are honest, truthful questions, and I agree with some having some secrecy to our lives, but to be honest, my young self would be proud that I straightened myself out, straightened out my attitude, my temper, the outlook of life in general.
Right.
Because I know when I was a kid and a teenager, I was not the easiest person to get along with. I was hateful, mean. But that all contributed to people bullying me too. So.
Right.
But I was able to straighten that out.
It's a good answer. Reverend Martin?
Definitely embracing the person that God made me to be and being unashamed of that. It has drawn me closer to God and it's brought peace in my life because I struggled so long wearing masks, trying to not let anybody see who I am. So I think if there would be one thing that I was happy about, because that, you know, when that happened, a lot in me was able to breathe easy. And so that would be my response.
Excellent. Katarina asks, Bishop, would Kennedy be the closest thing to Bernie Sanders in the U.S., and do you think the bird landing on Bernie's lector was a sign from God? Yeah, I think as far as the comparison between Bernie Sanders and John F. Kennedy, I think they're very close politically, socially. As far as the bird landing on his podium, a sign from God, no, I don't necessarily think it was a sign from God. I think that it was just a fluke of nature, but yeah, that would be my answer. Anybody else want to take a stab at that?
I think you covered it all for me.
Bernie, I think, you know, President Kennedy was very calculating. He was very observant of, he was very a long-term looker, you know, very big picture oriented. Right. You know, his approach to several things was to upend stuff that would bring long-term danger to the, you know, America and freedom. I don't know that he would probably go as far with some things as Bernie, but I think he would definitely be in the ballpark because, you know, you see him trying to reform the FBI. You see him trying to reform intelligence agencies. Those were, in his opinion, had gotten a little too powerful.
Right.
I think overall he would look at the grand scheme, and I genuinely think that he would put America ahead of political ambition.
Sure.
Because he did so with the Cuba Missile Crisis. It was, you know, everybody was telling him, you know, bomb the crap out of these people or take them out with military force, and he was doing everything not to do that. So,
right.
I think on some levels they would. I don't think President Kennedy's is, you know, his hair was definitely better than Bernie's is. Another person with a hair issue.
Right.
So, not as charismatic as Bernie, but I think Kennedy was an amazing orator.
Sure.
Likened to Churchill, Dr. King, Obama. So,
absolutely. Well, our last question of the night, as we're running down on time here, what is your favorite planet and why? My favorite planet has always been, since I was a little kid, Jupiter. I think that Jupiter is an amazing planet. The secrets that it holds are just fascinating. You know, between the Great Eye, which is the huge storm that has been persistent on Jupiter for eons, as well as all of its various satellites and moons that are, you know, rather large. You know, bigger than our own moon. Yeah. You know, it is certainly an amazing planet, and so very colorful. And so I've always had a fascination with Jupiter. Reverend Mark?
Yeah, Jupiter is definitely one of mine. You know, we talked about Saturn the other night. That was quite fascinating. As far as some of the stuff going on there. But, yeah, I'd have to say Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Ben?
For me, it'd be, I wish I could say two, but they only asked for one. So I guess Jupiter. But the second one for me would be Mars. Mm-hmm. Because of the what intrigues me is the science that has shown that there's been ice and water on that planet one time in the atmosphere at one time. What happened to that atmosphere? What happened to the ice and the water that was there? And then there was life on it. What happened to the life that was there? If that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. And we'll get to learn more about Mars in the years to come as NASA plans to create research outposts on Mars. So
right.
Hopefully we'll learn some good information about Mars in the coming years, so keep our fingers crossed. So excellent. Well, folks, that's all of our time for tonight. Thank you for making this episode such a wonderful one with all your questions and comments. And had some great questions tonight, so thank you so much. Thank you, Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben, for being here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, yes.
It's always a pleasure. And we'll be back next week for our podcast on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can join us on younow.com/BishopGreg or on TikTok at Expanding Your Faith and be a part of our live studio audience with episodes posted the first part of the following week on pod.myocci.social and on our church website at OurSt.Francis.org. Until then, until we once again attempt to expand your faith, God bless you and keep shining bright, my friends.
Thanks for spending this time with us on Expanding Your Faith. If today's conversation encouraged you, share the episode. It helps more people find the show. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also find us online at pod.myocci.social. and OurSt.Francis.org. Follow us on Facebook at Expanding Your Faith. Our producer is Bishop Ben Williams. Expanding Your Faith is an outreach ministry of St. Francis Parish and outreach in Augusta, Georgia, produced in cooperation with the Metropolitan Community Church of Our Redeemer in Augusta, Georgia. Until next time, keep expanding your faith.